The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio. Trends are constantly changing. There's something new in wellness, beauty, and food every day. That can be a lot to keep up with, so let me do the work. I'm the Trend Reporter, Mara Schiavocampo, here to tell you everything you want to know about the trends you should know. This week, we're talking about hair regrowth. So, ladies, we know that our hair is our crown, but unfortunately, we do not always treat it like royalty. Years of chemical treatments, too tight weaves, braids, and other damaging styles can take their toll. So, what can you do to regrow beautiful, healthy hair? Joining me today is Whitney Eady, also known as the Growth Guru. Whitney is a healthy hair and hair growth expert working with celebs like SZA and Alicia Wainwright. She says she has treated thousands of women and has a wait list of hundreds. Whitney, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Mara.
So you are not a hair stylist. What specifically do you do?
So I am a healthy, natural hair care and growth expert. Kind of think of me as like a boot camp or wellness instructor for your hair. So I'm really there to whip your hair back into shape, basically.
And how do you do that? What's the process?
So I have my own methodologies. It's called Her Growing Hands methodologies, but it's a mixture between my philosophy. It starts there, process, techniques, and tools and products. And so really we build regimens around the client, their needs, so that they can meet their hair goals.
People come to you, you sit and you look at their hair, right?
Right. I look at their hair and their scalp, their follicles, their cuticles.
Okay.
And evaluate.
Can you determine someone's overall health by looking at their hair? Can you say, oh, you need more vitamins, you need more this, or it's, can you determine what's going on with them?
Yeah, absolutely. So we like to ask questions as far as like what your lifestyle looks like, what kind of styles you've been wearing. And then we get into, have you had your levels checked as far as like your iron, your vitamin D, what medications are you on? Are you on any beta blockers? Have you had any surgeries, anesthesia, and things like that?
Every person's hair, specific hair condition is going to be different. But what are some of the things that you recommend?
Well, the top two things that I recommend, and I think these are the hardest things for people to do, and this absolutely works on everyone, is low tension and low manipulation. Those are the top two things that I need clients to start doing when they, kind of sign up with us and start following their healthy hair care regimen.
Okay, so we're going to get into some specifics in a second, but I wanted to play a game with you of always, sometimes, never. So I'm going to list styles, and based on how damaging they are to our hair, I would like you to tell me always, sometimes, or never. Okay?
Okay.
A relaxer.
Never.
Heat straightening.
Sometimes.
A sew-in weave.
I'm going to say never. Just my preferred.
No?
Not for me.
Oh, wow. Because I considered a weave a protective style. Okay, we'll get back to that. Glue-in tracks.
Never.
Okay, I lived in glue-in tracks in the 90s. That was like my jam.
Oh, Lord.
A slick back ponytail. Pulled tight.
Sometimes,
okay. Mm-hmm. A wig secured with glue.
Never.
Okay. A wig secured with combs.
Sometimes.
Twist out with your own hair.
Sometimes. It's always and sometimes. But that's kind of like a combo.
Okay. Cornrows with your own hair.
Always. Yeah, always and sometimes.
Okay. Braids using synthetic hair.
Never.
All right, so we're going to get back to the specifics on some of these things, but first I would love to talk about the steps to healthy hair. Now, of course, every circumstance is different, but there are some tips that you recommend for everyone, and the first has to do with washing your hair.
There's some unwritten rule that Black women or naturals or women with texture hair are supposed to wash their hair once a week. I don't know who came up with that.
Well, I've always believed that to be true. Is that not true?
Yeah. And I don't even know. Like, it's not even written anywhere. Like, somebody just said it. And that's what we do.
And we just pass it on. We tell our daughters. And
we just pass it on. It's like, yeah, you're washing once a week. But that's not always great for everyone. So here's the deal. Like, everyone is different. And I always tell my clients this. And people, this is like one of the number one questions I get asked. How frequently should I wash my hair? And I always say when it's dirty. So everyone's different. I have some clients that have scalp conditions. I have some clients that, you know, do hot yoga three times a week. I have some clients that are on certain medications, you know, so it just really depends on you and your scalp health and your scalp condition and your hair is, you know, far as how often you're going to wash it. Because remember, one of the rules that you're following is low manipulation. So the more that your hands are in your hair, you're going to over manipulate your hair. So let me just give you this. This is probably one of my favorite analogies that I use. So Mara, if you came to me and you said, hey, Whitney, I really want to grow this plant. I'm excited. And I'm like, okay, here's everything you need to get started. Here's your regimen. And so you've got your plant, you know, planted and you've got, you know, the sunlight and you've got the water and everything's great and you're excited. And then a week later, here you go out into the garden and you got your hands all up in the plant trying to see if it's growing. Chances are you're messing with it. It is not going to grow like it should if you're, you know, if you're manipulating it too much.
So we just got to leave. You're saying just let it be.
Let it be. It wants to, your hair wants to grow, but you won't let it. Because as soon as it comes out of the root, what do? You stitch it up, braid it up, sew it up, slick it back. You won't even let it give it a chance.
Your hair just wants to be left alone.
Leave me alone. Your hair is stressed. It's stressed.
Wow. I mean, but you're absolutely right. So, okay. But then, you wash it when it's dirty. That's a great tip. And what about afterwards?
Wash it when it's dirty. Okay, so here's the thing too. If you're one of those people that you absolutely have to wash once a week, you want to look into co-washing as well.
What is a co-wash? What is a co-wash?
Co-washing is really washing with like a conditioning wash. So it's like a gentle hydrating cleanse is what a co-wash should be. So it's almost like just washing your hair with conditioner and no shampoo. So I use the Juices and Berries co-wash, which is called the Juice Cleanse, and it's really hydrating and it has a lot of slip on the weeks that you won't wash. And so what that does is it helps your hair maintain moisture and it helps it not get stripped so much because a lot of places where people live there, they have hard water and hard water can really do a lot of damage if you're washing your hair every single week. So you want to just pay attention to the needs of your scalp and determine if a weekly wash is necessary.
Next, you recommend steaming. What is steaming and how does that work?
It's almost like a facial for your hair. So what the steam does is it opens up your cuticles and follicles and it allows the conditioner to get inside, nourish, and penetrate the hair, which leaves for softer hair, hydrated hair, more pliable hair. It will be easier to work with. It'll hold style better. It's just like overall, you'll feel the elasticity of your hair improve as well. It also helps with scalp conditions. It's really amazing. But you do want to use a conditioner that is lightweight and not super heavy to get the best results when you do steam.
Next is conditioning. And you say that we need to hydrate and moisturize. What do you mean by that?
So after you have rinsed out your conditioner, this step is vital. And this is the step that everybody's missing. And this is why everybody's hair is so dry. There's a difference between hydrating the hair and moisturizing hair. Hydrating the hair is basically the process of using humectants, water-based products that contain natural proteins such as like quinoa, rice, silk amino acids, and also vitamins that can penetrate the hair fiber. So those types of products infuse the hair and improve the absorption of water and nutrients so that the hair can hold and retain moisture. Then you moisturize your hair. So like with my line, we have a spray leave-in conditioner that's water-based, but it has like quinoa, rice proteins, amla, hibiscus, B5 vitamins. And that is what we put in the hair first. And then we start off with, or then we move to like a fortifying cream leave-in. So leave-ins are super important, but you want to use leave-ins that are lightweight that your hair can actually absorb the nutrients. It's almost like a vitamin for your hair first. And then after you do that, I like to use an oil to fill in the hydrating properties of the leave-in, and then a cream. So that's the lock method. A lot of naturals who are like big into products know what that is. Some people might not, but it's LOC, and it just is leave-ins, oils, and creams. Okay. So that process, if you find the right mix or a combination of products, can really help with retaining moisture. Now, your moisturizing products are going to be like the creams that you see, some of the balms that you see, some of the butters that you see, and those are to coat the outer surface of the hair fiber after sealing in the hydrating properties. Does that make sense?
Yes. So I understand the distinction between hydrating and moisturizing. It's kind of like, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the way I'm understanding it. It's the difference between drinking enough water so your skin is nice and supple and putting lotion on top of your skin.
Oh, yes. I love that one. Okay. Okay. Yep.
Is that the little one?
Yeah, sorry.
No, don't apologize. And she has beautiful hair too. I mean, I remember when I was little, everybody was giving their kids a relaxer. And now our daughters are free from that because my daughter
has beautiful curls. Yeah, I was too, girl. It was my second birthday. I was like one the day before and then two the next day in the chair getting a relaxer every 6 weeks until I was 19.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? And I straightened my daughter's hair one day just for fun. She was about 2 and a half and she came into where I was doing my own hair and I was flat ironing it. And she asked about that. And I said, well, I'll do yours because I'm really big into like mommy and me bonding. And so I brought out the blow dryer and the brush and I blowed her hair straight. And then I took the flat iron and I turned the heat down and I flat ironed it straight and she didn't see anything. And then I turned her around to the mirror and she has big, beautiful curls. She has like hair that people would die for. I turn her around and show her in the mirror and she started crying, Whitney. She was 2 years old and she started crying because she thought it was permanent. And I realized in that moment how much I was in that moment transferring my values onto her in thinking she would be delighted to see her hair straight. And she was horrified. Beautiful. And then she said, at 2 years old, Whitney, don't ever do that to me again.
Ooh.
Don't ever do that to me again. And she taught me a lesson that day.
Yeah.
She knows her value. I'd love to do some Q&A now. So we both asked for questions on our social media and we got dozens of questions. But what we found is that a lot of them were basically the same questions, that people are facing the same issues. We heard about the same things over and over and over. Let's talk about that synthetic braiding hair, because I always thought of that as a protective style. That's what I do when I go on vacation. Is it a protective style?
In my professional opinion, no, it's not. So here's the first thing I like to say, because braids, we're known for braids. I mean, it's a cultural thing for us, right? Like braiding is ancestral. However, the braiding hair manufactured in Asia is not ancestral. The material is really chemically compounded acrylic. So like when you think of getting your nails done and you add acrylic and what happens to the actual base of your fingernail is similar to what happens to the cuticles of your hair after having it braided with the acrylic. A lot of people will come in and they can't figure out why their hair is thinning. They can't figure out why it's, you know, super dry. It's a little bit more frizzy and it feels more rough to the touch after having braids. And the reason is because the strands of your hair were intertwined with acrylic.
Wow. You've said that it's like braiding your hair with glass.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Wow.
If you feel the texture of your natural strand, feel one strand of hair and then feel what one strand of the synthetic hair feels like, it's very rough and it's going to be a lot harder than your hair. So your hair is just a lot more fragile than that hair. And so being intertwined for, you know, months at a time or even a couple of weeks can really cause damage.
Okay. I feel like we could do a whole episode on the synthetic braiding hair and options and all of that. So, well, real quick, I want to go back to the weave. I always considered a weave a protective style. Is it not a protective style?
So here's the thing. I want to tread a little lightly. I don't want to step on too many toes, but for what I do and the women that come into my salon, the damage that they've incurred via sew-ins is just, it's astounding. So the thing is this, I always say low tension and low manipulation. With a sew-in, that's high tension and high manipulation. You have the hair tightly braided into cornrows. A lot of times the cornrows are pretty small. And then you're manipulating the hair with the needle and the thread. And then also when you're interweaving the thread through the hair, it can literally snap your cuticles. And so what we see over time with women who wear sew-ins religiously is thinning. Now you can retain length with sew-ins pretty easily, but a lot of times their hair is about 20 to 35% less dense than it would be naturally if they didn't have the sew-in styles, if that makes sense.
Does everyone need to do a big chop, like cut it all off?
Absolutely not. It's really kind of about your personal preference. I'm a big chopper. Like I chopped about four times with my own natural hair. Some people aren't ready. It's totally okay to transition and grow out the damage. Depending on, like, some women come in and their hair is so damaged that it's literally falling out in my hands. So at that point, I would recommend a big chop if it's shedding nonstop. But at that time you do a big chop, you definitely want to make sure that your health is okay. All of your levels are good, because doing a big chop and not having, you know, your internal health and all of your levels up to par can, you know, it really doesn't alleviate the problem if it's an internal problem. But you don't have to do a big chop. It's not for everyone.
Do you think that it is generally helpful to restoring the health of your hair?
I absolutely do recommend it. If you're looking to speed up the process in your hair, you know, in your gut, you know, it's very damaged and you just want a fresh start, I absolutely recommend it.
And then do you like shave it all off with clippers, or do you do like just a cropped, like a shorter kind of natural?
I like to big chop down to the virgin hair. So like if you have heat damage or if you had a relaxer previously, you can see the demarcation between the two textures. I just like to chop down to the virgin hair, the hair that hasn't been chemically treated or hasn't been damaged.
Okay, so you don't have to shave your head per se.
Nah, you don't have to shave it. We just use like shears to cut it down to the virgin hair.
And then what kind of styles, like what are your options for styling while it's growing back? Because everybody doesn't really feel that sexy or confident with like a little baby fro.
Yeah. And that's why I say it's not necessarily for everyone. For me, it's kind of a spiritual thing. You get to really know who you are when you don't have your hair to rely on. Mm. And so I do like a lot of the women to look at themselves in the mirror. And so it's cathartic for a lot of women. They'll cry and sometimes happy tears. Or I've had women who their hair was in shambles when they walked in and we were like, listen, we have to do a big chop, and they cry, but they cry because they know that they're like letting go of something to gain something, you know, deeper. And then also to having other women support them in the salon, because we're all naturals. Like you see all different textures and I mean, it's amazing, but to have that support system of other women, you know, telling you, you are beautiful just the way God intended you to be. Like it's a spiritual thing. Mm. Some girls will rock it, you know, like a little short crop style for a while. And then you get to that kind of like awkward in between phase, which is, I'm a huge proponent of wigs if they're worn the right way. Wigs are fun because you don't have the commitment and you can kind of try different looks, try different styles without damaging your hair. So wigs are great. Like if you're going to do a big chop and you want to, you know, rock like a fun bob or rock a fro or, you know, different hairstyles while you're growing your hair out.
Okay. I actually am really having the urge for a big chop, and I've never, ever, ever done that. And I really actually want to just shave it all off.
If you really get that gut feeling,
time. Like, and for me, you're right. That's why I was kind of, you know, giving you that church, like, when you were talking, because it is a spiritual thing. This year has been so emotionally charged, traumatic, challenging, I feel like this spiritual need to shave my head. And I'm reminded of all the cultures where people shave their head when they're in periods of mourning and grief. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there's a very human thing there. We may not be able to understand why, but for some reason, grief in many cases leads to the impulse to want to shave your head.
I have chills right now, Mara, because it's so true, because hair holds energy. Mm. And I've been at points in my life where, like, you know, two of my big chops were, one was on relaxed hair, one was on Texlex hair. One of my big chops was locks, and I had locks, but I felt like what I was going through, the energy was held in my hair. Mm. And it is, that's why, you know, that feeling like when you're at church and they're like, you know, who wants to come up to the front, and you feel it in your gut. Yes. You're like, oh, I need to go up there. It's the same feeling with your hair.
Yes.
And you feel it and you're just like, I have to release this, like, because it is hair. And it's, you know, people laugh at me when I say this, it is hair. It's just hair. It grows back. They're like, but you're the rough guru. I'm like, yeah. And I know it's hair. It grows back.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling that gut feeling and you want to start over, like, you know, by all means, like, look into that. You know,
I think you just confirmed for me. I'm just going to do it. Like, you know,
do it. Life's it's too hair short. To grow back. I mean, I'm here to help you. I'm excited, you know, to help you on your journey already. But yeah, if you want to do it, do it. And I'll walk you through, you know, what to do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm definitely, you know, I'm going to shoot it. Cause if I'm going to do a big chop, it's going to go on the gram. Okay. So what do you recommend for edge regrowth? Because a lot of us, whether it's through postpartum shedding, pulling your hair back too tight, using too much edge control, which I live for edge control. I am addicted to it. It's like crack. Whatever the reason, a lot of us, our edges are paying the price.
Yeah. So I feel like the edge epidemic is like newer, because edge control wasn't really a thing, you know, like back in the day or like when we were coming up. And so now I think with like the surge of all these edge controls on the market, people want that sleek, polished look on their edges, but their hair texture isn't sleek. So they're having to manipulate their edges so much to get the look that they desire. And your edges are really one of the, I would say, the most fragile parts of your hair. Your edges are like the baby of your hair. And so all that manipulation and then tying them down and then just constantly, you know, trying to get them to lay down can cause thinning. So the number one thing when you're growing your edges back is be kind to them and be gentle with them. And if you're noticing, I would say this too, we all know that there's protective styles that we say are protected, but when people come out of them, we're seeing a lot of thinning around the edges, like braids or like sew-ins, or you'll hear people say, oh, well, I didn't braid, I told them not to braid my edges too tight. So if you're coming out of styles like that and you feel like your edges are thinning, they probably are, and you want to start to do some scalp massage. I have an elixir that works amazing. So after the birth of my almost 3-year-old daughter, I started to thin with my postpartum shedding. And it's the same thing as far as like having a style that created too much tension and caused you to thin. So what I did for the first 3 months, I would do scalp massage every single day on the edges very gently with the elixir. And the elixir has a lot of fantastic properties to help stimulate the follicles. And that's what I would do. But I refrained from using any heavy edge gels to slick the edges down. I just kind of let them do their thing. And it's really hard to do because you know, people want the sleek edges and they want the style, but you have to sometimes sacrifice the style for the care of your hair.
How does the massage work?
So with a massage, you want to use your fingertips. You want to avoid using your nail, especially if you have, sharper nails, because you don't want to create any small cuts or lacerations, because that can cause infection. So you want to use your fingertips on, and you want to make sure your hands are very clean first. And then I like to use an oil that is a combination of carrier oils that aren't too heavy, and then also infused with essential oils to promote and stimulate hair regrowth. So I have the elixir, which is called the Drip, and it's from the line Juices and Berries. We also sell it at Her Growing Hands. And that's my favorite for regrowth. We've had seen success for a lot of women. I've actually seen success for women that have not had edges for a while start to come back, because sometimes your follicles can be dead and you can awaken them. So you want to gently just massage in small circles in the areas that have thinned out with the elixir. Probably I'd say at least every other day for thinner areas.
For how long?
I would say until you start to see it come back. We've had some people that are still using it after a year because they just see great results. But I would say you want to be at least consistent. Give yourself at least 90 days of consistency to start to see improvement.
How often should we trim our hair?
Trims are every 3 to 4 months at my salon. And we do a safe silk press process because we have a signature Her Growing Hands trim. And we trim the way your hair actually grows out of your head. So we do that process every 3 to 4 months, depending on the client's needs, their lifestyle, and their existing damage. And that's how we get people to retain their length. Keeping the ends healthy.
Now, are you going to need a trim less often if you're not manipulating your hair, not using heat on it, not doing all the things that we do?
Yeah,
to it?
You can definitely stretch. The girls who literally do nothing to their hair, they can stretch probably about 4 months.
Okay.
Maybe a tad bit longer.
Healthy scalp. How important is it to have a healthy scalp? How do you know the health of your scalp? And how can you make sure you have the healthiest scalp?
Yeah, absolutely. Healthy scalp is so important. A lot of times when, especially new clients, they come in the salon, they have a lot of buildup on their scalp because they haven't properly been cleansing it, or they don't know what to do to cleanse it. So we like to use tea tree shampoos if you don't have an aversion to tea tree, or a shampoo that I like to tea tree shampoos because they generally don't strip the hair. But also too, there's a lot of women that have scalp conditions and they don't know they have scalp conditions, and they're just thinking, oh, it's just dandruff, or, let me just wash it because it's flaking. But a lot of times we recommend people go to the dermatologist if they do have large flakes or dandruff, so that the dermatologist can determine what it is, so that they can start using special shampoos to, keep, the buildup off of their scalp. And then once your scalp can breathe, as we say, when it doesn't have that buildup, your hair will definitely grow better.
Thinning hair, especially as women age, how can you get thicker hair?
Okay. So the fullness of your hair is determined, by your genetics. So as you age, sometimes with hormones, your hair can thin. But what I see many of the times, a lot of women, they think that it's just because they're getting older. But if you have certain vitamin deficiencies, such as vitamin D, your D3, or your iron, that can also be a huge factor. Or if you're on certain medications, I would definitely advise you to Google hair loss and the name of your medication to see if that is also a contributing factor. Now, if your mother was prone to thinning or your father was prone to thinning or your aunts and your uncles, you will probably be prone to thinning. So you really want to make sure the older you get, you're taking better care of your hair, focusing on the care and not the style as much. Because if you're prone to thin and you're doing things that exacerbate thinning, then, you know, it can accelerate that process.
Mm. What about protective hairstyles? There were a lot of questions about the best protective hairstyles.
The best protective hairstyles probably are more boring for people, but they're the safest. So like twists with your own hair are great. Flat twists are great. Flexi rod sets are great. Like low heat, styles like that. Bunning is actually good for your hair if you're not wearing the bun too tight and not wearing it in the same position every single time.
Natural hair color. Is there a way to color your hair naturally, or recommendations for not damaging your hair with color?
Yeah. So here's the deal. You want to stay away from bleach always. Bleach is going to break the bonds of your hair, and it's going to affect the elasticity of your hair and generally will cause shedding at the end of the day. So if you are getting your hair lightened, you want to make sure that you're asking your hairstylist what type of color they're using. Make sure they're not using bleach. There's a lot of ways to do beautiful color without damaging the hair. But I'd say that would be in the realm of your natural colors. So like your blondes and your reds and, you know, your light browns. When you start getting into extreme color, like your reds and your like super bright reds and your greens and your, you know, oranges and pinks and all these fun colors that you see, like purples that people are doing, that requires bleach. So when you're doing colors like that, just know that it's almost impossible to do those extreme colors without irreversible damage.
Okay.
On your natural hair.
Okay. Keeping a healthy kitchen. So the back of your hair, making sure that that's healthy and strong.
Yeah. You definitely want to oil the back of your hair and pay attention to your kitchen. Don't forget to clean the kitchen. Don't forget to oil it. Don't forget to oil it. And also definitely don't pull on it. A lot of people will kind of have this, you know, tendency to kind of pick back there. Also, make sure that your hairstylist is trimming your kitchen too, because that's another thing. People miss that part, and that part really can have a lot of split ends and little balls, those little balls on the ends that you feel are probably split ends. So you want to make sure that part is getting trimmed and taken care of as well.
Okay. What about at-home treatments? So I got questions about two specifically, rice water and mayonnaise.
So rice water is like a hot topic right now. Rice water is okay. It's actually a natural protein. So you can't really damage your hair by using the rice water. I mean, it'll help fortify the hair. It's actually an ingredient that I use in the products that I formulate. So yeah, it'll absolutely help. It can help fortify your hair. Absolutely. You just want to make sure you're following with a great conditioner to kind of balance the moisture in your hair and hydrate the hair. Mayonnaise is one of those things that we've heard of like forever. I don't think you can hurt your hair. I mean, it does have egg in it, which, you know, also has some protein in there. You just want to make sure you're balancing. I'm not really a kitchen person as far as like, let me make, you know, an avocado honey mask or whatever for my hair. I've heard horror stories. I've actually had someone that came in and they had put just like egg in their hair. And I think she sat under the steamer or something and the egg started to scramble. It started to scramble in her hair.
Stop it.
And then I've had a couple of clients that had some incidents with honey kind of not getting, you know, not being able to, rinse out of the hair. So you just kind of want to be careful with some of those mixtures that you're doing in the kitchen, but they can't really hurt the hair. You just want to make sure that you're following with like a balancing conditioner.
Okay. So I think the big takeaways here are give your hair lots of love. Don't over manipulate it and do not use an egg treatment and sit under the dryer. So you have scrambled eggs
exactly.
in your hair.
No scrambled eggs.
Whitney, thank you so much for this. How can someone make an appointment with you?
I have two salons. There is one in Frisco, Texas, one in Dallas, Texas, which are both the DFW Metroplex. We have clients that fly in from all over, like every state, and even overseas, which has been amazing. So you can go to www.hergrowinghands.com. And you can make an appointment with my specialist. Everyone has been trained by me. We don't call each other hairstylists. They're actually considered as natural hair care and growth specialists.
I have to ask, what is the rate?
Oh, the rate for so a new client appointment at my salon is $150.
Oh, so that's, I mean, given what we spend on our hair, that's very reasonable.
Exactly. And we educate you. So you walk away with knowledge. You walk away with product recommendations. You walk away with a plan. It's kind of like going to the dentist for your hair.
Right. I love that. Where can people find you on social?
So my page is the_growthguru on Instagram. The salon page is Her Growing Hands. And then I have some other supplemental businesses. You can click on the link in the bio. You'll be able to buy products. You'll be able to, shop and book appointments on both pages.
All right, Whitney, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mara.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. I want to know what trends you have questions about. So hit me up on Instagram. I'm at Mara S. Campo. You can also check out the Trend Reporter on YouTube, covering all of the newest trends, including tutorials on everything from food to beauty. That's youtube.com/Mara S. Campo. The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.